Happy Independence Day and welcome to a holiday edition of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and I know I'm not alone in wishing on this July 4th our vast freshwater resources in Michigan and around the country were free of pollution and contamination. It's simply not the case. The Great Lakes constitute the world's greatest freshwater supply, and a major oil spill, it could be catastrophic. That's why there are concerns about the Enbridge Energy plan to encase its Line 5 pipeline beneath the waters in the Straits of Mackinac. That's our focus today, and here to help guide the conversation is my co-host, Lisa Wozniak. She is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and happy 4th, Lisa.
Happy 4th to you, Dave, and to everyone. Free of pollution and contamination, well, that's definitely the dream. We're not even close, but the good news is that there are hardworking and very dedicated people and organizations continuing to make progress to that end. And our guest today can certainly be counted among them. Mike Schreiberg is a friend and an associate professor at the University of Michigan School of Environment and Sustainability, and as of June 1st, is the new director of the University of Michigan's Water Center. Mike has vast experience beyond that as well. He previously served as associate director of the Cooperative Institute for Great Lakes Research, Great Lakes Regional Executive Director at the National Wildlife Federation, and he served on former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder's Pipeline Safety Advisory Board. So, Mike, congratulations on the new position, and welcome back to our First Friday Focus on the Environment.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
When it comes to Line 5, the political landscape has changed. The Army Corps of Engineers recently has approved a permit for Enbridge to move forward with its proposed tunnel project, despite orders from Governor Gretchen Whitmer to decommission the pipeline and lawsuits pursued by both the governor and the Attorney General, Dana Nessel. So I'd love to hear from you. What's the status of the efforts to shut down Line 5?
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many twists and turns, it's hard to summarize it succinctly, but basically, the state of Michigan and the Bad River Band in Wisconsin have told Enbridge to shut down legally and other ways. Enbridge has said, no, we're not going to do that. And it's playing out in the courts. In the meantime, Enbridge's strategy, so to speak, is to build a tunnel under the Great Lakes to avoid the Straits of Mackinac, where it's lying on the bottom, and to go around the Bad River Band by building the pipeline around piece. So there's a lot going on, but maybe at a high level, that's the summary of where we're at.
You've spent a good deal of your career, Mike, focused on Line 5. In your estimation, what is at stake for Michigan's environment, its economy, and overall way of life?
Well, I don't mean to be hyperbolic about it, but I think the stakes can't be higher. And it's not just because of the issue. And the issue is critically important. I mean, this is about the heart of our Great Lakes. This is about our drinking water. It's about our economy and it's about our environment, but it's also about indigenous rights. It's about water rights, and it's really about the state's rights to protect the Great Lakes. Enbridge has essentially said the state of Michigan does not have a right to protect the Great Lakes, and that's what's playing out right now in the courts.
Well, Enbridge, of course, would contend that it is to our economic benefit to allow this project to move forward. So I'm curious as to your assessment of the safety rating Enbridge deserves.
Yeah, Enbridge's safety record is really poor. And I just say, you know, I've had the privilege to talk to folks in industry quietly. And when you talk about Enbridge, they kind of shake their head and say, you know, they're not really good actors even amongst the oil industry. So we have an actor here that simply can't be trusted. And I'd say on the economic arguments, what you'll see is Enbridge has spent millions of dollars in public saying that we need Line 5 economically. But when they've been forced under oath to testify to the economic need of Line 5, as they were in the Wisconsin case, they say something quite different. They say that if Line 5 was shut down, there would be no meaningful impact to prices or the economy as a whole.
You are listening to WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair. My co-host is Lisa Wozniak. And today, we're talking Line 5 with the new director of the University of Michigan Water Center, Mike Schreiberg.
Once again, Mike, congratulations on your new role as the director of the University of Michigan Water Center. And years ago, the Water Center produced a seminal report measuring the impacts of a potential oil spill in the Straits of Mackinac from the Line 5 oil pipeline. And now the center is working to document the history of Line 5. What role do you see that report and the Water Center playing in the Line 5 conversation as we move forward?
Yeah, I mean, the Water Center's role overall is to bring high-quality information to debates and issues about the Great Lakes, and that's exactly what played out with Line 5. So that seminal study looked at all these different scenarios where if Line 5 leaked or spilled, what would the impacts be to the region? So where would spills go and things like that? Used the most high-tech sort of hydrologic studies and put that information into the state processes. So at that time, as you mentioned earlier, I was serving on the Pipeline Safety Advisory Board of Governor Snyder, and it was critical to get high-quality information from the top-notch hydrologists to know exactly what would happen if Line 5 was leaked. Had a leak. And so to me, this partnership between good quality information and good decision making is exactly the role for the U of M Water Center, not just on Line 5, but on issues of the Great Lakes and water across the board.
As you draft the document on the history of Line 5, how do you intend to use that historical evaluation in moving forward with overall pipeline safety policy?
Yeah, I'm drafting this essay really for two reasons. One, from a teaching perspective. So I teach water policy and Great Lakes issues, and you just won't find a deeper, more interesting case study than Line 5. The twists and turns, the fact that this began as the focal point of a single advocate, Beth Wallace, who started pointing out some of the potential issues with Line 5, and it's blossomed into something, for better or worse, that's an issue of international diplomacy and consequences at the highest level. So I just thought that was something that should be tracked and documented. And so I'm writing that up, doing that for a teaching role. And then the other thing is, what does it tell us about other issues for the Great Lakes and beyond? The issues that we work on here are really complex. The interplay of climate issues, water issues, indigenous rights, states' rights, et cetera, that's the world that we live in here, because every one of these issues we work on the Great Lakes have those layers of complexity. So I'm trying to draw out what we can learn from Line 5 in this kind of living, breathing case study that seems to have a new twist and turn every couple of weeks.
Once again, our First Friday Focus on the Environment conversation with Mike Schreiber continues. He is director of the U of M Water Center, and the other voice you hear is that of my First Friday co-host, Lisa Wozniak.
As you have alluded to, Mike, the Line 5 issue is part of a broader energy issue, water issue. President Trump has issued several executive orders meant to boost oil and gas drilling domestically, including an order declaring a quote-unquote energy emergency and giving the green light for federal agencies to skip steps on their way to approve projects. That actually led the Army Corps of Engineers to expedite permit approval for Line 5. So I'm wondering, what are other potential impacts on the Great Lakes and the environment from the Trump energy and water policies?
Yeah, so we're seeing a dismantling of some of our core environmental protections. I mean, Line 5, again, is sort of a case study in this. What we saw from the Trump administration was essentially a sped-up permit for the Line 5 tunnel. It's not the last word on it, but it's the federal last word on it. And we're going to see more things like this coming down the pipe. What I think is, it makes it even more important for all of us to stay vigilant about water protections. There's a lot that can be done on the local level, on the state level, as we're seeing federal retrenchment and we're seeing federal rollbacks of water and energy policy. So we're going to see more impacts like this, unfortunately, and Line 5 is kind of on the cutting edge of it.
When it comes to water issues, Mike, we have PFAS contamination, microplastics, agricultural runoff. There are water shortages in parts of the country. Even some of the aquifers in Michigan have run dry. The federal administration is cutting EPA jobs, reducing funding, and forcing cutbacks in organizations like FEMA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Will all of this impact the mission of the U of M Water Center and the environmental research that goes on at the U of M?
I mean, I'm going to give you a vague answer, which is yes and no, because, you know, federal administrations come and go, right? Things happen in that space. But, you know, I think the key thing is the water resources enjoy extraordinary public support. You know, in this region, the Great Lakes, they're not just an environmental issue, they're a cultural issue. And I don't mean to minimize, I think you gave a good list of some of the problems that are going on, but we actually see some bright spots. For example, President Trump signed a presidential memorandum that allowed the Asian carp bearer, the invasive carp bearer, to go forward and got one praise from Democratic governors, Governor Whitmer and Governor Pritzker. And, you know, that single thing does not at all wipe out the bad things that are happening on the waterfront, but it does show there are pathways forward for water protection that can bring people together. And I think that's a space that the Water Center plays, which is bringing people together, being solution-oriented, looking beyond the immediate politics to what's in the best interest of our resources in our region. And we are seeing, even in tough times right now, we're seeing glimmer of hopes on things like the Brandon Road Lock and Dam, which is the invasive carp barrier I was referring to.
Well, I always love ending on a positive note, and you've certainly provided one. Thank you for the time and conversation, Mike, and best of luck in your new position.
Thank you, and happy 4th of July to everybody.
That is Mike Schreiberg, Associate Professor at the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability, and as of June 1st, new Director of the U of M Water Center. For more information on Mike, the Water Center, and Line 5, pay a visit to our website at WEMU.org. And Lisa, once again, happy 4th, and I look forward to our next conversation in August.
Happy 4th to you and to Mike and to all who are listening, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and on the first Friday of each month, co-host of this conversation we call First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and most of all, thanks to you for joining us today. Have a happy 4th, and keep it dialed in right here to your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM, Ypsilanti.